Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Oh. Knock On Nation podcast show. Hey, it's another episode of the Knock On Nation podcast show. There's your host, Ken Hendricks.
Hey,
wow, what is happening here?
There's JT.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Josh. Ken, take it away.
Okay, nice. Thanks for the intro, Josh. I like a little change it up sometimes. You about made me piss my pants, but other than that, you know, like, here we are. Man, wow. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I just feel it's important to kick the episode off with this. As a lot of people know, this podcast leans to the right a little bit at times. But I feel like it's
the only right-leaning baseball
replacement
podcast
level podcast
in
yeah.
America.
You meant on our political beliefs.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay.
That being said, Donald Trump's an idiot. There's a lot of things I like about Trump, but my God, please somebody take away his Twitter. Make it stop. Like, God, please.
Turn on the audio. If you quote tweet a video, turn on the audio.
Right, listen to it first. Because
sure
you're
the president.
Sure no one's shouting white power in the background, because that's kind of stupid. Let's be honest, we all know it was stupid and it was not intentional, but still, oh my God, what are you doing? Please stop. That being said, Trump's got a lot of self-owns lately. Trump is a guy that needs an enemy. It's like Josh Brown. Josh, if Josh is given too much time alone without a relevant enemy, Josh turns on Braves Twitter. Josh turns on people close to him. It's like he needs an enemy. But like, if the Phillies fans get up in Josh's mentions, or the Mets or New York, Josh will obliterate them, but he needs an enemy. He's got to have somebody that's an enemy, or Josh turns into a troll and will eventually troll himself. I think that's Trump. Trump, like, Biden's been hiding in a basement, literally doing nothing except bad interviews that make him sound like mush for brains, and Trump's somehow losing to this guy because he doesn't have an enemy, and Trump's just saying stupid crap. You know, stop saying stupid crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean,
I agree.
Being said, I also probably have been on Twitter too much, and I think most of the world doesn't feel the same way as other people, but it's still like, God, please.
I wish Condoleezza Rice would run for president.
I don't like Condoleezza Rice, so no.
Condoleezza Rice!
Why are you not like
Dave
Condoleezza
Spell throwback.
Rice? Why are you not like her?
I've just never liked her. She's
a patron
amazing.
At Augusta National. She's a member.
Then she is,
she's
yeah.
And she loves football. What are you talking about? She's
awesome.
Yeah,
she knows it. Dude, she would kill it like a football podcast. A football
like they literally,
podcast. With
they
Condoleezza
actually
Rice.
Interviewed her. The Cleveland Browns interviewed her.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, Josh. Let's be honest. The Cleveland Browns.
Have you been
interviewed
by the Cleveland Browns?
Someone like me has. Hired freaking Hugh.
Stop.
What's his name?
Stop.
Hugh Jackson?
I don't care what team you are. If you get interviewed by an NFL team for a head coach position, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Condoleezza Rice is amazing.
I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying I'm not like going to sit here
she'd
and say
be a great
that
president.
I think she should run for president.
If she ran against Trump, awesome. I'd vote for her in 2 seconds.
Okay.
I'd be all over Condoleezza, not in a sexual way, but I'd be all over Condoleezza Rice running for president.
Hell yeah. I mean, she won't do it because if she ran, they would call her a white supremacist and stuff, and they'd try to ruin her life.
Clearly.
I think she'd go hard left if she ran.
You think she'd run as a Democrat?
Yeah, I think she would. Yeah.
No.
How?
Yeah, because she's pretty. She already is a very leftish.
She would go back to what a modern Republican is. I think Trump's taking a little far to the right. I think she's running more
Trump's
like
not
a
right. Trump's like very center. What do you mean? Like, Trump's even left. It's just the left is
Trump
going so far left.
Trump just retweeted a white power video. That's
that doesn't make him far right. That just makes him dumb.
I'm saying she won't be doing things like platforming on building a wall to keep Mexicans out or putting travel bans on Muslims. She'll steer away from those kind of hot button issues.
And then she'll get
and
beat
be more
by
of a fiscally conservative.
And then she'll get beat by the Democrats again, right?
No, I don't think she will. I think she'll be more of a fiscally conservative kind of the Republican that we're used to.
Like a
Trump
Mitt Romney, right?
Look, I mean, Mitt Romney is
a
douchebag.
Like a John McCain.
John McCain's biggest fault was being like 80 years old, and he looked old as dirt compared to the young, cool, hip Barack Obama.
Okay.
Right. And Obama understood
he also picked
Palin
to be his running mate. Come on.
That was a bad thing. And Obama understood that McCain didn't, was with short attention spans. You need a catchphrase. You need something that people could easily ingest. And he had change, and people were like, oh, get it. And
so basically, Trump and Obama, pretty much the exact same candidate with
Trump also understood that if I'm going to get elected, I need something that's easily digestible.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate my followers being able to recite 5 of my platform issues. But they can pull on a red hat and go, yeah, Trump.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing that Obama did with, like,
change
or hope.
No one knows what we're changing. Just change. Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's about self-promotion and self-marketing.
It's kind of like Bernie. Yeah, Bernie has no... I mean...
Bernie just says free.
Exactly. That's his thing. That's what's weird to me about American politics now is, like, the left has moved so far left
that
the right has moved left. And... now there is no center anymore. It's like if you are
blue
what,
team and red team, and that's it.
If you are a centrist from 1993, right? Bill Clinton. If Bill Clinton ran today with the exact same platform that he ran with when he was elected president, he would be considered a good bit right of Trump.
Yeah. Obama. Would be a Republican right now.
Just about, yeah. I mean, not really, not that far.
Yeah, it's 08
Obama was anti-gay marriage.
Yeah,
all about the border.
Yep.
That's when they called him illegal aliens.
He's the one kind of put him in
started the policy. Yeah,
jail.
I will agree.
Oh no, I'm saying for future years, like the guy I've been watching and I think is awesome is Dan Crenshaw. Oh,
yeah, yeah, I think he
tried to cancel him today though. Did you hear about that?
No, did they?
Not surprised.
I don't think he'll be able to cancel, but...
Yeah, he won't. But today he was on Brian Kilmeade, and you know how he talks? He's very logical and tempered, which I love, because I'm not like that.
Very much not Trump, yeah.
Right. And he was talking about the protest, the Black Lives Matter protest, and he said, look, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that just a few weeks ago these things were happening, and now we're seeing these spikes. And he's like, there's nothing wrong about saying that. Let's just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Well, they took that clip and they're all calling him a racist.
Oh,
how
sure.
How dare you say that? You know, and all this stuff. It's terrible. But yeah.
Yeah. There were a bunch of people out in public together. And that's going to cause a spike. I am pulling for Dan Crenshaw to become president because I have a sick nickname for him and I can't wait to use it. Abraham Winken.
Nice.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I love Dan Crenshaw.
Don't tell anybody.
I think he would be a good president. He'll never get elected. I don't think he'll ever get elected.
No, he may be one of those career guys.
He's not sensational
enough.
He's also very much a traditional Republican in the sense of if Trump's not president, I think he looks a lot further right than Crenshaw does right now. I also think he's very much like a... From what I understand about him, he's very much a product of like the what's that organization? Every county has one that business not the Better Business Bureau, but
the Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce, yes, Chamber of Commerce. Like that's an org, you know. So like he's very much like a product of that kind of group. Doing things, so
I think he's inventive in the way he makes himself. Like otherwise, we wouldn't know Dan Crenshaw exists.
I think,
but he's great on Twitter. He has a podcast that's very cool and very informative and interesting. He has different doctors and stuff on. It's like a watered down Joe Rogan kind of thing where he'll have different specials from all these. Some of it's not political at all, and it's like. You know, he'll have a bunch of people in different fields that he just finds interesting, and it's kind of cool when you see a guy. Use social media in a way he has to just, hey, I enjoy what I do for a living and I like to discuss topics that I find interesting with people, and he just seems like a cool, very relatable dude.
If we're talking about right-wing targets, I think the people that you'll see is Dan Crenshaw, Nikki Haley, Ted Cruz. Candace Owens doesn't have a chance. She's terrible.
The boat hasn't passed on Ted Cruz?
I don't think it has. Ted Cruz is more popular now than he was when he ran for president.
It's true. His verdict.
Because I think Ted Cruz is better in this role than as a president.
I think you're right.
I don't disagree.
I don't disagree, but I do think he has a lot more support and momentum now than he did when he ran against Trump. That being said, I think the next candidate that will inherit Trump's mantle, this is not like a prophetic moment or anything. I'm just thinking. I think Tucker Carlson will be the next right-wing person to run.
Really? Yeah. No
Didn't
way.
He get paid too much money?
Tucker Carlson.
No way.
And not work?
Tucker
no
Carlson.
Way. No,
Tucker Carlson. Listen, let me finish. He is the only nationalist in the Republican Party right now.
But he's not a politician.
Yes, he is. He's 100% a politician. Do you
Trump
watch?
Wasn't a politician.
Do you watch his videos? Oh, he's 100% a politician.
No.
He's not a career politician in the sense of like going through all these other things, but he's 100%. Going from that, what's the guy that was governor of Arkansas that
Huckabee?
Mike Huckabee.
He was technically a politician, but people didn't vote for him because he was a politician. They voted for him because he was like this. He became kind of a like very low level Tucker Carlson nationalist, very low level. But that was why people kind of like bought
into
it.
Tucker, whatever.
I think he 100% is planning.
I think some of what you're seeing with Tucker is a little bit manufactured in regards to. I think some of that is Fox and writers. Because I mean, I've seen him in interviews. I've seen him on Rogan, and I like him, and he is a lot of those things. But a lot of what you see on his show is manufactured and
written. Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, he's very much a nationalist, though. I think that's 100% true.
I don't disagree with that.
He's not a Republican. He's not a hardcore rhino. He's not a hardcore righty. In fact, a lot of his views are actually pretty liberal.
I could see Cruz getting back in it because I think.
As much as I think Cruz is more popular, I don't think he'll ever get the nod for the nomination. So for me, I think if anybody's going to pick up like Trump's reins as a nationalist, the only people that I can think of that are close are Tucker Carlson and Richard Grenell. And they wouldn't know what
Who's
to do
Richard
with Richard.
Grenell?
He's the guy that NSA filling guy. It was he's gay. He's from California. And he's Trump's NSA guy that he sent to Germany as ambassador. You remember any of this guy? Richard Grenell.
I remember reading about Trump appointing the first gay ambassador to, I guess, Germany. So that's probably him. But
yeah, Richard Grenell's pretty awesome.
I forgot about him.
He's really, it's kind of cool. He's a pretty cool guy. It would be interesting to see what the left had to do with a gay guy running for president and how they could handle
it. Oh,
they'd
destroy him and call him a white supremacist.
I'm sure they would. Sure they would, but yeah. They eat their own. Anyway, that's enough politics talk. That was interesting. You want to talk about how to actually change the world for a minute, fellas?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. This isn't a Christian rant, although we could, but I'm gonna avoid that side of things. But you know what? A lot of people are convinced that changing the president, changing politicians, changing laws changes the world. But let's be honest, it really doesn't. I mean, you live pretty much the exact same way you did 20 years ago. There are some weirdos that follow the laws to a T, and it does gradually affect things, no doubt. But for the most part, our everyday life is exactly the same way it was 25, 30 years ago. We do have more social media now. We watch more TV now, those kinds of things. But all in all, pretty good. That being said, a lot of people think if we change the commissioner of baseball, baseball will be saved. But let me throw this out there. I think Rob Manfred is a result of baseball, not the problem with baseball. And what I mean by that, he is a fruit of the tree. He is not the root of the tree. So baseball was already convinced that it was too long before Rob Manfred came along. Baseball was already moving towards, I mean, look, steroids basically created this home run era that everybody's mad because Rod Manfred changed the baseball to make people hit more home runs. Well, players had already changed themselves to hit more home runs. Launch angle had changed the players to hit more home runs. Statistics had driven the players to do all these things. Rod Manfred's just a result of that, just like Trump, in my opinion, is 100% a result of where politics has gone to. Whether you agree with Trump or disagree with Trump or any of that, he is a backlash to postmodernism. Well, Manfred, on the other hand, is like this greedy frontlash of postmodernism in baseball of like, throw out all the old traditions, let's go with something new, let's recreate the game, let's make the game about home runs, dingers, and get people's attention, right? But I don't think Manfred created that. I think baseball created that, and Manfred just said, okay, I'll do what you guys want me to do. And people can scream about it and cry about what Manfred's done, and I scream about it. I don't like Manfred. I don't like the rules he's put in place. But ultimately, I'm screaming about what baseball's done, not just what Rob Manfred's done. Does that make sense, Josh?
Yeah, a little bit. A little
Before
bit,
I yeah. go on, I'd like to get some opinions from you guys. I have more opinions, but you guys throw out your thoughts here. I just dumped, like, I feel like I just brain dumped a bunch of stuff there. So.
No, you did. You did. So are you saying that, for instance, I've always thought that society at large, popular culture, like mm-hmm. what's popular, whether that's sure. the president or the commissioner of baseball or whoever a big musical act is or a big movie,
right.
is a reflection of what's going on at greater in society.
I think
because
so, yeah.
without a demand for it, then that person or thing would not be popular.
Right.
It's like when 20 years ago when Eminem became a thing, mm-hmm. a big hue and outcry. Oh, he's got bad lyrics and blah, blah, blah. And how could this guy, like, clearly there's a demand for it. Clearly this is a reflection of what society wants or is after, or else no one would be
it's
buying
like
his
It's like
pop
country.
And he
it's
would,
like, yeah. this is yeah. trash, yeah. but I mean, that's the reason there's
and
trash
think,
is because there's dumb people.
Well, I think sometimes that the pendulum swings so far one way that the only logical outcome is for something that goes the other way. You know,
and I think our tendency is to call it trash when we don't identify with it.
Sure. And mm-hmm. you know, and everything is kind of cyclical from sports teams being good to bad to this genre of music being popular to unpopular. Everything has its run, you know, especially
yeah.
in politics.
Yeah. yeah.
You see it all the time where the Republicans are in the White House for 8 years, then the Democrats are for 8 years, and it just kind of swings back and forth. You know, we liked this guy. We liked Reagan in the 80s. But then by the end of George Bush's, the first presidency, it became too much. So we needed 8 years of Clinton to mm-hmm. kind of swing it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how things work mm-hmm. in a general sense. We demand something in this country and then we get it. And after a while, we don't like it and we want the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just kind of how the society works. Our society demanded someone fresh and cool like Eminem, but now Eminem is this old washed up guy who's not that good anymore.
Yeah.
And so our demand now is for these, you know, pop country bands that come up. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of how things go.
Well, I will go so far as to say this, JT. I think what we do is that art sets out, art of any sort, whether you want to call even politics, I think falls into this role of art, okay? It's a weird kind of art, but I still think it's an art that you're trying to get people to embrace this brand picture that you've created, right? This beautiful, quote, beautiful piece of art that you've created. Are you that bored, Josh?
No, I'm not.
I think art's goal is to try to create an image or a story that people can grab hold of and identify with. Mm-hmm. Tupac, right? Created a story that people coming out of 80s, early 90s, urban culture, especially gang culture, identified with and connected with, right? Like they were able to say, I see myself in what he's saying. Whether or not that's true or not, that's what they did. Like, maybe
he
that wasn't actually them.
A voice for a certain group of people that said, yes, that's exactly
right.
What
he said, here's a story.
Right.
Right. Here's yeah. a story of people in the hood, right? And then people in the hood said, that's my story. Whether or not it was their story or not, they bought into the idea. And look, I feel like personally, rappers and country singers are the true troubadours, in American society, and they tell the stories that we tend to identify with. And right now in America, the reason crap country, as we would call it, works is America likes the story of not a lot of responsibility, let's go drink and party, let's be commercial consumers, right? Let me be a consumer and get up on the tailgate and jump around and that girl up in the car and have no real responsibilities and just enjoy sitting here by the lake. Like, and that's not a bad thing. It's just, but that's a story.
Very similar to the way rap and hip hop was 20 years ago when it was songs about going to the club and popping bottles and having big rims on your car.
Right.
And having a lot of ice on your neck. It was like, yeah, that's not really my situation, but I like to escape and pretend that's
me.
And it's kind of the same thing with the pop country. Mm-hmm. Look, Jimmy Buffett's made like $500 million off selling escapism to people.
Yeah.
You know, to people driving home from work, listening to Margaritaville, going, oh, man, it would be nice to be sitting on the beach right now.
Right. It's, and people it's the then, same idea. And what happens then is as that art reflects this story, okay, whether or not it's the person's story or not, it reflects this story from all of society. It catches this story or this zeitgeist or whatever term you want to use, this story floating around out there. But then as it does that, it also shapes the story of the people that grab hold of it. So for example, in the Tupac era, you know, 80s, 90s hip hop, guys started wearing their jeans lower and lower so that their butt showed. And the reason they did that was they went without a belt. Because in jails, you couldn't wear a belt. And to identify with their brothers that were in jail, they would go without a belt on purpose and bust slack. Like that was the term that it would become called.
Bust slack.
Busting slack, right?
Never heard that. That's
you've never heard that? Yeah, that's what busting slack. That's when you
must be like catching a bird. I can't
believe you never heard busting slack. That's what busting slack is, just wearing your pants where your butt shows, right? With no belt. And so
sagging. We call it sagging.
Okay, sagging. That's another
sagging your jeans.
Call it sagging too.
So what happens is you've got a group of young people that look at that culture and they say, I identify somehow, or I want to identify with the song that Tupac's singing. So you've got some white kid from Livonia, Georgia, that hears, California Love, and somehow thinks that's his story, which is totally
somehow
not.
Somehow that relates to that
story, mainly because the kid doesn't like his own story or doesn't know his own story. He's just seeking for a story. Period.
He's mad at his parents for making him clean their room or getting divorced or something.
And rightfully so. When you're a teenager, that's the problem. You're a teenager. You don't have a story yet. You're not writing your own story.
You attach to something.
Exactly. Yeah. You try to attach to it, and then you start to imitate the artist that wrote the story. So then you start to wear do-rags, or you start to bust slack or sag, whatever y'all want to call it.
Right.
You know, you start to do these different things, and before long, you start down the path of that story. Now, you may not fully get there, but you begin to buy into that's who you are, and you begin to move that direction, right? Like the thing you feed on is the thing you move towards, right?
Right.
So if we want to like really change the world, I think a lot of us tend to do it by thinking we should change the top and the top will change the bottom. But I'm the person that believes, no, the way you change the world is by embracing the people in the now, the ones right around you, and helping them find their real story, whether it's yours, theirs, whatever, and connecting with their story, the real story. And then as we live together and love together, whether or not that's even in Christianity or not, like, you can leave that part out of it. Just simply doing life together is how the world changes, right? It's not by legislation.
I had a conversation with my wife a couple weeks ago after we spent an hour and a half, Ken, on the phone talking about going deep diving into prosperity gospel. And my wife and I had this interesting conversation where we were talking about Confederate monuments getting taken down and statues getting taken down, things like that. And my point was, she asked me why it doesn't bother me. And to be honest with you, it doesn't. I don't care one way or the other because I don't identify as a son of the Confederacy. I don't identify as a Southerner, but it's like six on the list.
Right,
Like down here. And so to be honest with you, it really comes down to where you find your identity. And I think a lot of people in the political climate, when you've got 24/7 news and you've got the blue team over here with MSNBC and CNN, and you've got the red team over here with CNN, people find their identity with that. And you find your identity in Donald Trump. Not as a conservative, not as a Republican, not as somebody who said, well, I'm, you know, fiscally conservative and socially liberal. No, people find their identity in wearing a red MAGA hat.
Even finding identity in being proud to be an American or not being proud to be an American. Right. Like, that's the identity you've embraced. Yeah.
And those things going to come and go. You may find your identity in being, I'm a guy that goes to protest and I am a hardcore liberal. But when those things change, when Donald Trump is no longer around, if you're a hardcore Trumper, where are you going to find your identity?
Or a hardcore Never
Trumper. And that's why I don't let those things bother me, because that's, on the day that I die, that's not going to help me.
Yeah.
You know, that's not just what I care about.
Even the days before you die, it doesn't help you. The days now, it doesn't help you is the thing.
But we all remember being that kid and being kids that grew up in the South. And who was a guy, who was like a band or artist that you attached to? And you were like, I want to be like that. And you started trying to dress like that and act like that. Like, was there a certain person you remember being a kid and being like, I want to wear my hair like that? Or
Dwight Yoakam.
I believe it.
You were like 2 years old. You met Dwight Yoakam and you said...
There's pictures of me like trying to dress like Dwight Yoakam. Yeah.
Yep.
You wanted to, hey man, I saw the Fast As You music video when I was in like second grade. And that was peak Dwight right there. I remember like Eminem came out, man. I wanted to cut my hair short and like bleach it blonde and, you know, I wanted to be there because I was like, that's cool. That is what cool looks like. Well, you know, you walk your whole life like as a kid, you want to be cool more than anything else in the world. Like, you just want to be cool. And then you see something, you're like, that must be what cool is.
Well, see, when I was in high school, in middle school, I got into FFA. And following that route, like, the cool thing to be, like, to buy into that story, you know, was tight Wranglers, cowboy boots, and, like, not necessarily a cowboy hat, but, like, you always wore a baseball cap, like, all the time. That was part of it. And you listen to country music. So when I was in the 10th grade, I went to a leadership conference at Washington, D.C. that the FFA did called National Leadership Conference. I went to it, and while I was there, I met people from all over America that was there for this FFA leadership conference. Mm-hmm. And during that training, I think God used it as an opportunity for me to encounter people that didn't buy into that narrative. Because there were people that were preps, that were rap lovers, that were all kinds of different things. And I spent an entire week like getting to know those people. I came home from Washington. You can ask my mom. I came home from Washington. I threw out all my Wranglers. Nobody told me to do this. I threw out all my Wranglers. Or I put them in like my work pile. All the tight ones I threw away. Like the super tight, because I had like the skin tight Wranglers, you know, like your junk Stranglers. Had to be tucked in. Yeah, like you had to tuck it the right way. Threw all that away, started wearing shorts to school, right? So I didn't look like all the rednecks anymore. I still hung out with them, still considered them my friends, but that wasn't my story anymore. I said, I can be comfortable, I can be who I am, and still connect with those people. Like, I can be independent. And it was a real changing moment for my life. Like, it was a big deal moment in my life, but like it wasn't like somebody told me to do that. It was just like I had this awakening while I was there that's not really who I am. That's not my story, you know. And I think a lot of us are buying into other people's stories of who we are. I mean, that's literally what the news sells us on Twitter or in baseball or everything else. It's constantly trying to tell us who we should be and who the story is. Josh, what are you thinking, man?
Also, I wanted to be Johnny Resnick in high school.
Oh, the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see it. Top of the world to I see might me. Have played at Eddie's Attic or something, and I had a black Takamine acoustic guitar.
Nice.
And
is that why you only have like a chin strap goatee right now and no mustaches? You're still trying to live up to that? Is that what's
Johnny
going on
Resnick.
Here?
Resnick did not have this.
He's Resnick, Johnny Redneck.
Yeah, this is more like Johnny Redneck. Resnick didn't have a chipper tipper like I got right now.
Okay.
What's your go-to Goo Goo Dolls jam?
Man, I don't know. I mean, Iris? That's, I don't remember the names of
it. I took a girl I liked in eighth grade to see, well, I didn't. My mom took me. And I met her in the movies to go see City of Angels. And that was on the soundtrack to the Nicolas Cage hit City of Angels.
That was a terrible movie, by
the way. JT really did speak to me, though. I mean, that's a real strong point. I mean, I think people right now get their... And we talk about people getting their identity in their baseball takes and stuff like that. But right now, there's people that get their identity in politics and Trump and loving Trump and hating Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way too much. Yeah.
There's people that get their identity in shaming people for wearing masks and get their identity in shaming people for not wearing masks. And I mean, like everything in the middle, you know, like it's my question is like, why does it matter so much to people? Like, I get it with you, Josh, you're trolling the heck out of people because it's hilarious. But like a lot of people, I'm seriously like, I don't understand why you are so worried one way or the other, because you yelling it in the invisible wall of Twitter is not going to change anything. You know?
Right, not going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And there's people that if the election swings one way or the other, the world is going to end. If it doesn't go the way I want it to, this is the end times. Folks, it wasn't the end times 4 years ago, wasn't 8 years ago or 16 years ago.
I think there are some differences this year. We'll be all right. But I mean, I agree with you for the most part. I do think there are some I don't want to be a doomsdayer, but some scary differences right now.
Well, I mean, every election moves us in scary differences. I thought there was scary differences in Bill Clinton and George Bush.
George Bush, right.
You know, I mean, I thought there was scary differences in Obama and McCain, you know.
And how frightening like is that to look at?
That's what you Clinton think, Josh. Bush you just didn't care as much, I think.
Maybe no, there wasn't riots there. I mean, this is a little different.
Yes, there were. You don't remember the riots when Obama was in president?
There's been I mean,
remember when what was his last name?
Michael Brown.
Yeah, Michael Brown. In Ferguson. They had riots all on his watch. And then in 1992 they had the Rodney King being in the Watts riots.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. The King riots, I mean, I'll give it to you, but like comparing this to 2015 Michael Brown stuff, I mean, this is a little next level, right?
Nah, this is just different news coverage of it.
I don't know, man. The monuments.
Yeah, they did the same thing then. You don't remember that? You don't remember them tearing down monuments when Michael Brown was?
I do, and I remember there was talk about a lot of the Confederate monuments were you know, being honed in on. But this is a little bit next level, I think.
I don't think it's hardly any different. I mean, I think it's the same thing. I think the difference is Trump's president and not Obama.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, everything is always going to feel like an escalation, and it probably is escalated slightly from when Obama was president because you had a black president, and so they couldn't get nearly as much traction. You know, like, there wasn't this narrative being thrown out there that the president's a white nationalist, you know, which it doesn't help when he retweets stupid Twitter accounts. But, you know, again, I get what you're saying, Josh, but I think that's the perception every time is that it's worse. How do you not know? Like, tell me more. I'm not trying to, like, cut you off. I don't want to, like, not listen to what you're saying.
I get it. I get it. Every election year is different. I've read a couple of books about Andrew Jackson this year and his presidential campaign. And one of the things you learn is how presidents are racist have always been crazy. And one of the things that I have always assumed is how now, and we talk about how there's not really news. It's just all sensationalized BS. Like, it's actually always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the 1820s, like if you read newspapers, it was like one way or the other, and it was propaganda. It was weird, and so there's this misconception of it being only now has it been that way. But I don't know. I hear you. I understand that. And then you look at the 60s, and I mean all that. I mean, but I think this is at least different. Anything that we've seen in our lifetime, I don't think it's anything like 2015. I mean, I understand. I remember the whole Michael Brown thing, and I remember Ferguson, and there's Baltimore. I don't know. I think this is with the virus, with the racial stuff. I think this is a little bit louder.
I think it's louder because, for one, we are even more obsessed with news.
We are. That's true. That's a good point.
The difference in 1820 or 1813 or whatever, and now was like you might have 10% of the country read a newspaper, and they did that once a month, you know, on average. Like now, it feels like a lot of the country, even if they don't, is constantly inundated with news. And there's a cool book by Roger Hart called that talks about politics and how the news works. But one of the main things it does is it makes you feel informed without actually informing you of anything. It inundates you with noise without actually telling you anything.
Well, people don't watch the news to be informed anymore. They watch the news to be affirmed.
Sure.
It's true,
That's true. I knew it. Good point. I knew I was right.
They want to feel informed, right?
Yeah.
It's the feeling.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. I think you hit something strong right there. People are obsessed. Yeah. Myself included. Guilty
inundated.
As
right. Like I think if most people would put down Twitter, first of all, and recognize most of the country doesn't tweet, just first of all, put that out there. Only about 10% of the country is on Twitter or less. So first of all, that's not real. Secondly, if you put that down and walk away from TV and it, I think you'd recognize that the temperature is probably about the same as the other times. It's just hyper sensationalized in these small markets. You know, like on Twitter, for sure. You say something wrong on Twitter, everyone freaks the heck out, you know? So, and I'm not saying social media hasn't changed the world. It definitely has. But I think it's the same thing through a new filter. And while I agree with you, I do think things sometimes maybe are more intense this time. I think it's the same things and the same choices, and I think we'll end up back relatively at the same place. You know,
I've been listening to too much Rush because I think Rush, guys like Rush and Glenn Beck, I mean, they
made a band.
Yeah.
They, I mean, I like Rush Limbaugh, but I mean, he definitely has a brand.
Oh, yeah.
And
Rush convinced us all that the world was going to end when Obama was elected, too, by the way. I mean, let's just...
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah.
It was good for his ratings.
Yeah, Glenn Beck came to prominence thanks to Obama being elected, you know. Yeah. And Glenn Beck informing us all that Obama was
I should just turn those guys off and listen to that Dan Crenshaw podcast.
I recommend the Dan Crenshaw podcast.
I don't think Rush and him are bad. I just would drown in it, you know.
Oh, I drown. It's a lot. I'm guilty as charged. Everything that Ken just said is like totally me. Like I am inundated. I'm guilty as charged. I love it. And I think it goes back to what Ken said about me, how I have to have an enemy or something. Uh-huh. Like I love being pissed off. It's weird. I hate it. I'm trying to be better,
though. Well, you listen to Rush Limbaugh, he'll get you mad about something.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to tell people two things. I think number one, tell people that may not be on the same political aisle with you that's okay. That's fine. I value you as a friend, and we don't have to agree on everything. And listen and learn, and maybe they'll listen and learn from you. And the second thing, I think it's important to let people know that the best Goo Goo Doll song of all time is Name. It's not Iris. It's Name.
I didn't say it was the best of all time. It's just the one I remember. It's Iris.
Can I tell you guys a secret? Like, you can't tell anybody.
I mean, you are on a nationally syndicated podcast, so
nationally syndicated. We are official Braves media members.
So when I was in my Johnny Resnick point in my life, senior year of high school, and I tried to be Johnny Resnick. So we played at Eddie's Attic this one time, and so like, and I even wore my guitar like him, like it was kind of low.
The numbers, Victor. Sorry,
I might have.
That's a deep cut joke that only a few people will get, and that's okay.
I'm only going to say this if you guys promise not to make fun of me.
I'm not making that promise. I'm sorry.
I you have my word.
All right. I painted my fingernails black. I swear to God.
Smile, don't you sad.
I thought it was cool.
Oh my God. You're such a loser. such a loser.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah, you're like Adam Levine or something.
Or Johnny Resnick.
It was definitely a Johnny Resnick, like a black balloon slide.
Did Trent Reznor have black fingernails? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. I didn't care about him. I cared about Johnny Resnick and also maybe Brandon Boyd with Incubus.
So here's a good question.
I thought
Morning
View
did not leave my truck CD player for a solid 18 months.
Same.
So here's a question for you guys. What, since we've been talking about this, what is the most out of character piece of art, musically or otherwise, that you've embodied at some point in your life and like really embraced? For me, I went through a season where Big Timers was my favorite band, and
everybody get your roll on.
And to this day, I know all the lyrics
to their
songs.
Can't say them on here.
It probably would have been.
I did like Big Timers. Still Fly. It's a banger, man. It's a wedding reception must. Is playing Still Fly after all the grown-ups have left.
Let me add to that. That was also the time of Petey Pablo. I know all the lyrics to all of Nelly's CDs before 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I also may or may not be able to sing every lyric of Bone and Biggie. Even the
Notorious
fast ones.
Thugs.
Well, that doesn't count because every like white kid from the South got into that shit.
And but I was more so than others. I also probably can sing every Tupac song.
When I was this piggybacks on yours, Kim. When I was 14,
Falling fast for a blue eyed girl. Homeroom class.
I had a little extra allowance, about $25. And I went to Barnes & Noble, and I bought Tupac Shakur's poetry book, The Rose That Grew from Concrete.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
Because I thought I was kind of like Tupac.
Now, did you guys ever do the whole youth group thing where you would get convicted over your CDs and, like, burn them and then have to go buy them again? I did that.
Yes, I threw away all my Bone Thugs and Harmony CDs. And I even had the solo albums from Busy Bone and Crazy Bones.
I went to this crazy, like, Pentecostal church, you know. Growing up, all through middle school.
Story of my life, yeah.
And we did. Oh my god, this is embarrassing. Unless if you grew up in it, then you get it. But if you didn't grow up this way, you're gonna hear this and be like, these guys were in a cult. And I guess we kind of were, but we had like this one of those fall festivals, you know, bonfire where we brought things that were hindering our spiritual.
I remember
walk.
That. Yeah, we did that.
Yo, I'm ashamed to say, that I burned a Led Zeppelin CD.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know that?
And an Aerosmith CD.
I had a girl. We went on a mission trip when I was like
13 or 14.
Though. I was like 18. Went on a mission trip with my buddy and a guy from our church and his family. They were doing some mission work in Mexico. This girl went with us, and we took a John Cougar Mellencamp CD.
Oh my
and
gosh.
This girl got on to us and turned in to us, like ratted on us to the guy there that we were listening to John Cougar Mellencamp. And we told the guy, we won't listen to her around, but we're not getting rid of the CD. It's two good songs.
Hell yeah. Was it? Which one was it?
It was Greatest Hits. It was Greatest Hits. Yeah.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
And I'm old school, so I call him John Cougar or John Cougar Mellencamp.
Oh, that's
Johnny Cougar.
John Cougar. Man. Like his stands up, like his catalog
Scarecrow?
Stands up with Tom Petty, stands up with Bob Seger, anybody in that genre, severely underrated. Man.
Oh yeah, he's very much a folk artist that doesn't get credit for it.
Dude, Small Town is a butt kicking song. Mm-hmm. Rain on the Scarecrow is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
dude, Pink Houses. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh,
Pink Houses is fantastic. Ones, man. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I had the whole album memorized at one point. Yeah. I could say it all.
I don't know if I have an answer to your question yet. Like off-brand kind of artist that I don't know, man.
Well, because your brand's changed so much, and nothing's ever been off-brand for you.
That's true. Josh is into every brand. He just keeps it all. It's like today I'm a Yankees fan. Tomorrow I'm a Bills fan. Today let's go Braves. Oh, the Braves are out. Here we go.
He's like an amoeba. He just molds into whatever.
Speaking of which,
maybe Jurassic 5. I got into Jurassic 5 for a summer.
They did a song with Dave Matthews once. That's all I know about that.
I don't remember Jurassic 5.
West Coast early 2000s West Coast rap, like Blackalicious.
Once I was in college, I kind of checked out. So
I saw Blackalicious in concert, and a bunch of people threw quarters at them because they sucked. They opened for... Really? Here's the thing. They opened for Yellow Card and Something Corporate. And so a bunch of emo kids did not want to hear Blackalicious. They wanted to hear about If You See Jordan and Ocean Avenue, because why? I don't know.
Jurassic 5 was a shit, man.
Oh, wow. Well, this has been an interesting podcast, fellas. Since we're talking about new stories and buying into a new look and a new artist, can we talk about Cam Newton being a Patriot?
Well, I always knew he was a Patriot in his heart because he loves America. But
No, I mean like a New England Patriot, Josh.
Oh.
Yeah. Cam Chowder.
So I am ignorant on the technicalities and the advanced metrics of the football. And so my initial reaction was like, Cam's about to like be a badass. And Belichick's about to make him into like a savage, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. But then I've been told by people that know more about it than me, like JT, that probably not. That's probably not going to happen.
I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of help on offense for the Patriots. And I think Cam's going to be fine. Look, they paid $1 million for Cam Newton. All he's got to do is be better than Jarrett Stidham, who's his only competition at quarterback. So essentially, he's the starter. But again, how good is Julian Edelman without Tom Brady? We don't know. And is Julian Edelman a number one wide receiver? No, I don't think he is. There's no Gronk on the team. There's no, I mean,
they
who
got,
are the other wideouts?
The
Who's the weapons
rookie.
He has to throw to?
They got that rookie from that we talked about from what college was that? We talked about it the other week.
Oh, that's defense. The safety.
Oh,
Kyle Duggar.
Oh, I thought he was a wide receiver. My bad. Gotcha.
No, but again, I mean, who's your Sony Michel at running back?
And, maybe. Yeah, Rex Grossman.
James White.
Rex Grossman.
I mean,
not Rex Grossman. Rex Burkhead. I'll say the right
Rex
name.
Rex Burkhead, who was like 35 years old, and yeah. He doesn't age. But I think the cupboard is kind of bare offensively. Now, Belichick's still a good coach, and I think the defense will be solid enough.
Their defense, though,
is it
been
a cupboard
so
or a
good.
Pantry? I've never said cupboard.
I think the saying is the cupboard is bare, but I definitely call it a pantry in my own kitchen.
Okay.
Like, I don't say the Pop Tarts are in the cupboard. I'm like, oh, check the pantry.
Do y'all remember that book,
The
Indian
but
the in
the
cupboard?
Cupboard?
Anybody remember that movie? Book?
I remember the movie.
Yeah,
I remember the
book.
Movie,
I read the
yeah.
book and then watched
the
movie.
Little Indian in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Cupboard.
I bet that movie gets canceled nowadays. But
I just don't say, like, who's the game breaker? Who is the guy on offense
Cam.
For the Patriots that. But who's he got to throw to? And
he doesn't have to. He's Cam.
But that was the problem he had the whole time in Carolina.
So the problem, it's Carolina. Come on, let's be honest.
But
like
again, now he's in a spot where
I like Carolina's coach, but he's not Bill Belichick.
It'll be interesting to see how like Belichick manages Cam, because a good analogy, I think, would be like if the Braves went through with it, or if the Pirates didn't nix the deal and the Braves got Barry Bonds. And imagine Barry Bonds' personality. Maybe that's not the best analogy, but like,
but
I mean,
Bill
a big ego, a big ego kind of guy.
Randy Moss did just fine.
Yeah, Randy Moss did fine. Ocho
Aaron
Cinco
Hernandez was killing people
there.
And still played. You know, he was murdering.
And let's be honest, Rob
time.
Gronkowski is like one of the biggest egos there's ever been. So.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay.
I just don't think. I look at the division and I say, look, I think the Jets could only get better. They can't get a lot worse. The Dolphins are definitely getting better. Maybe not this year, but they're trending upwards. And the Bills are already a playoff team. I think the Bills are already a 10-win team next year.
So let me throw this out, though, JT. I think the only thing that matters here as to whether or not the Patriots will be decent is Cam actually healthy? If he's healthy and can play, I think Bill Belichick makes the playoffs with him. If he's not healthy and can't throw the ball at all, I don't think they make the playoffs. I mean, I think it's that simple.
And here's the thing. I think Cam Newton has more rushing touchdowns than any other quarterback in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
He can't play like 23-year-old Cam.
No, he can't. Right.
As big as he is. I mean, he runs like a fullback. You know.
But
mean,
the question is, can he throw like 23-year-old
right.
Cam? And I don't know with his shoulder like it is. You know,
yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Maybe he's
going to have to – kind of like Donovan McNabb. When McNabb first started, he was this runner. He was a dual threat. Mm-hmm. As he got older, now McNabb's a big dude like Cam. But he learned, hey, I can't be doing good, that though. Anymore.
I missed Donovan McNabb on my fantasy team so much.
So awesome. But he had to learn that, hey, I can't run as much. I got to be more of a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Because I can't do the things at 30 that I could do at 24.
For sure.
And that's just mother, you know, that's father time. Take it over. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. Can he make that adjustment? Maybe. But again, I mean, who's he throwing to? Chris Hogan?
Yeah. Chris Hogan's actually pretty good, man. Hey, he just gets buried on the depth chart. I'm just saying. He kind of sucked last year.
The Patriots have gone for a long time, have used this idea of like, oh, we're the Patriots. We'll outsmart everybody. Yeah. We'll skimp on the big names.
Kind of work
we'll
for
find
them.
Players elsewhere. Can that work forever, though? I mean, Tom Brady is probably the best quarterback of
all
time.
Six rings
now,
on his fingers?
Right. But you had the best quarterback of all time. Now he's not there.
But, okay, so this is the question. Did
Brett
you have
Favre
the best quarterback
the greatest
of all
quarterback
time?
Of all time. Okay.
Who?
Brett Favre is the greatest quarterback.
No, he's not. He's not even close.
Sexiest,
he's not even on the
sexiest
top 10.
Quarterback.
I can't
of
even
all
have
time.
A I can't even have a serious football conversation
the
with
best
you.
Looking.
Simps.
I don't okay, so this will be the question this year, JT, that will be more answered. Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? I understand all the arguments. Or is Bill Belichick the greatest coach of all time, or is it both? And the curious thing will be, can Tom Brady perform in Tampa? And I know he's old, but like he performed pretty decent last year. So if he's even remotely close to that, you got to feel like, okay, yeah, he's legit.
I'll answer
right?
this first.
Go ahead.
Jerry Glanville is the greatest coach of all time, and Brett Favre is the greatest quarterback of all time. Go ahead, JT.
Would you like to explain how Jerry Glanville didn't use Brett Favre?
Would you like to explain if – I don't Favre know. Would you like to explain to me, was Bill Belichick – did he play a cameo in Confederate Railroad's music video Queen of Memphis? No, he did not. Jerry Glanville did. Therefore, greatest quarterback of all time – shut up. Go ahead, JT.
Brett Favre told me this week that Colin Kaepernick was on the same level of Patriot as the guy from Arizona, Pat Tillman, who passed away.
Wait, who said that?
Brett Favre did. Told
no,
me
he did.
Yes, he did. 100%. Brett
no,
Favre.
He, where 100% did he say that? On Twitter?
This last week in an interview, he said that Colin Kaepernick was as big of a patriot and a martyr as Pat Tillman.
Well, I would like to make a formal announcement right now to everyone listening to the Knock'em Nation podcast show, the nation's leading replacement level right wing podcast. Brett Favre is the worst quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with Dan Marino, my number one all time.
I met Dan Marino once. And,
what?
Yeah, he shook
he
my hands.
Tan?
Very.
Was he super tan?
He was very tan. He has very big hands. And I said, hey, man, you were great in Ace Ventura. And he took his hand away and said, I got to go.
So, oh, yeah, wow.
That's my interaction with Dan Marino.
I can totally see you do that. If you guys have never seen JT interact with a professional sports star, like, I've seen it. Like, I've seen JT
it's
meet
weird.
Luke
it's
Jackson.
Awkward.
It's fantastic.
Luke Jackson, Dan Marino, they're all the same. Not the same movie. Like, they don't know, like, is this kid making fun of me? Like, what is this guy doing? I don't know.
I would be totally, because if I didn't know, I'd be like, he's making fun of me. This guy is
yeah,
such a
and
weirdo.
That's what Dan Marino was kind of offended. He thought I was, like, busting his balls because he was an Ace Ventura. Like, who wouldn't want to be an Ace Ventura? Are you kidding me? Like, what?
I mean,
Ventura got robbed of an Oscar. Yeah.
Can I say well, this?
Brett Favre's dead to me.
I've never seen a good Jim Carrey movie.
Huh?
Have you
come
not
on,
seen the Truman
be
Show?
Be honest, man. Dumb and Dumber?
Truman's Show is the scariest
Dumb,
movie I've ever watched.
Dumb and Dumber, The Mask.
Dumb and Dumber is so dumb I can't even enjoy
Stop.
The movie. I'm sorry.
You don't like Dumb and Dumber?
I really don't. I used to make myself laugh at it and think that I did, but I really don't. Yeah.
Can you sound like my dad? My dad
heart.
Has
you
a...
You sound miserable. You sound like a miserable
My dad
person.
Has sorry. A visceral hate for Jim Carrey. Like, my dad... If Jim Carrey, like, someone mentions him, he'll be like, oh,
correction.
Him in every movie, he
correction.
Sucks.
Man on the Moon was fantastic. Correction. I will say that.
Well, that's because Jerry the King Lawler was in that one. But
and also
I
it was
think,
about Andy Kaufman. But you know.
Yeah. Oh man, best Jim Carrey. Dumb and Dumber. I mean, I can't go against Dumb and Dumber as far as best.
Yeah,
best
you can.
I did enjoy Yes Man. That was a cute movie.
Yeah, Yes Man. Of all the Jim Carrey movies,
I didn't say
yes
it was
man.
Good.
Is the
it
one
was
you
just,
come up with?
You have the worst takes ever across yes. the board. And like you think
Casey Musgraves isn't hot. You know, you have the weirdest takes on, like, me. I don't even know what's right now.
Okay.
I'm so disgusted.
Well, how about we don't say anything? It's been another episode of the Not Combination Podcast
Bruce
Show.
Bruce Almighty? You didn't like Bruce Almighty?
I didn't. Not at all.
Bruce Almighty was great.
I did. I laughed the first time I watched it, but, like, it's not a rewatch.
That's the point of the movie. You laughed when you watched it.
Yeah, but it's not, like, great.
Yes.
It's not up there anywhere near Tommy Boy. I mean, it's like,
I know it's not Saving Private Ryan, Ken. I'm not saying it's The Godfather, but you enjoyed it. That's all that matters.
It's not all that matters. It's not.
It's really what was it supposed to? What else was it supposed to do?
Are you expecting Citizen Kane? It's called Bruce Almighty, for crying out loud. It's not.
No, like, exactly.
Lawrence of Arabia. I mean, it's like, Lord.
It's
you're wanting a masterpiece.
It made you laugh.
Yeah, come on.
It did its job.
There you go, exactly.
Josh, Talking Chop makes you laugh. It doesn't mean that you like their work.
Wait, that's not their job? Different. I thought their job was to be funny.
It's not different. Anyway, thanks for listening to another episode of the Not Combination Podcast Show. It's been fun. If you would like to join the nation and change the world a little bit at a time, you can do so at patreon.com/knockahomination, or you can get your own shirts over at shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahomination. Join the nation. Be a part. Fight back against the crazy world that we live in. Fight against the stat heads and all the people out there who think they know better than you. That's going to do it for this week's show.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahomination is brought to you by Knockahomination patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomination. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomination.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @knockahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.